The more of a flow you have, the more of an intimacy, and your the frontier, the boundary gets more porous, if you would. You're moving in and out. The scripture says we sit in heavenly places. And we have the biblical record of the interaction between the people of God and angels. And then we have those places where the prophet is just in every chapter, like Ezekiel. And he's seeing things and being swept away. And the nature of the kingdom of God just intrudes into the natural world and takes over and commandeers. And I'll just tell you, there's some circumstances where we need that to happen. We need heaven to come down and take over in the midst. And you are the vessel and you are the receptacle of that tonight. There's a place we talk about, portals of prayer and portals of worship and portals in the Word of God, where we are like the first 12 that went down into the Jordan, and they the water parting was a type of the breach in the fabric of the Spirit, and they handled weighty things out of that river bottom. They built memorials in the invisible, and they built memorials in the visible. And you can change the nature of the spirit world, and you can change the nature of the natural world by moving through where God makes a breach. I'll just tell you, there's one in this house tonight. God has opened up, like, because of your prayer and your praise and your worship and your consecration, God's opened up a breach and a portal here tonight. And there's angels ascending and descending in this place, like in that night that Jacob's ladder became visible to that young man as he tried to sleep there in the desert. I'm just telling you that it is a day for that. And then there are seasons of time that make that more robust, more likely, more active, like in those passages in the book of Revelation where the cataclysm is happening. And it says the temple in the heaven was seen. And there was a breach. And like when the Lord comes, it's like heaven just opens up and the thing is torn wide open, and there's this full commerce between heaven and earth at that point. And at that point, heaven takes over and sets up the kingdom of God on the earth forever. But we're a little bit of that tonight. We've got the keys to that tonight. We've got the portals and the access tonight. Is there anything you need in your life or anything you need God to do? There's a portal that's wide open in this place tonight. And with a little bit of energy and a little bit of intensity and a little intentionality, maybe some focus, you can press into that tonight and become very vulnerable with God and tell him exactly what you need and what you would love to see. And God's a good God, and he cares about you, and he wants to help you. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it. Praise God. I want you to lift up your hands right now, and I want you to just open up your heart and begin to talk to God about what you need and what you'd like to see and what you want him to do and to begin to do in your life right now. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, mighty God. Ah, mighty God. Now you're too timid. You're too timid with that. You need to open your voice. You need to go ahead and begin to do business with God. There is a connection between the energy that you pour out. You know what he talks about, the reciprocal nature of the kingdom. As you give with the measure that you mete out, that'll be the measure that is meted back to you. You've got to get your heart and your emotion and your energy and your strength involved in this tonight. Go ahead. Begin to call on God. Begin to cry out to God. Ah, mighty, mighty, mighty God. Ah, we give you praise, oh God. We need you, Jesus. We need your power. We need your anointing. We need your wisdom. We need your understanding. We need your hand on everything that we do, oh God. We need you with our babies, and we need you in our homes, and we need you in our work. We need you, God, tonight. God, we're crying out to you tonight, and your word says, when we cry, you hear. God, we need souls, mighty God. We need men and women filled with the Holy Ghost, and we need people baptized in Jesus' name. God, hear our cry tonight. Somebody talk in tongues. Somebody let the Holy Ghost just have his way. Somebody get lost in the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody get lost in the Spirit of God right now. Just wander off of your normal path and begin to walk in something tonight that may be a little bit different for you. But go ahead and begin to wander in that tonight. No, we're not done. We're not done. Just walk off into it. Press into it. Unto John were the law and the prophets, but now the gospel is preached, and every man presses into it. Are you ready for him to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask or think? Are you ready for him to do that? No, I'm going to help you right now. Somebody needs to be on their face right now. Somebody needs to have their face buried in a carpet. Somebody needs to be dancing right now. Somebody needs to be twirling right now. Somebody needs to be pressing into the presence. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe. Highly individualistic. We can't choreograph this. We can't put this in a group package. You gotta just begin to move in the Holy Ghost right now. You might wanna pray for somebody. You might wanna cry. You might wanna laugh. I don't know. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. In the light booth, go ahead and kill those lights like we do for prayer. Go ahead and do it right now. There you go, there you go, there you go. Take your liberty. Thank you. a calling in the house right now. Just say yes. There's an affirmation in the house right now. Just say yes. There's an empowering and anointing in the house right now. Just say yes to God. Thank you. praise the Lord. Let's just love on him a little bit here. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Let's just give him some thanks here. Lift up every voice, every hand. I'm going to give you the cliff notes on a word that's in the house tonight. You can just keep playing. Something sweet, what you feel, just like you want. I appreciate our musicians and our praise group and the good work that they do. Praise God. Praise God. The thing that I wanted to work and probably develop in the house tonight is about the persistence of giants and the glory of God. And you can make a case, and I would have, but I'm thinking about you and the clock in the morning, that kind of thing. You can make a case that there have always been giants. We run into them in Genesis chapter 6. And we don't really understand exactly what all that's about, because it's the sons of God. And because of that interaction, whatever it was, there were giants in the land. And then you get down to our story, the area of our study right now around 1 Samuel, in the middle of the book. And there's this giant that's coming out into the valley for 40 days straight. And he's crying out, send me a man that I may fight with him. And his proposition is, if I kill him, you will serve me. You'll serve us. And if he kills me, well, we'll serve you and your gods. You can leave that. I don't, it's fine. We're already moved off into another area altogether. And those giants seem to have a connection with something demonic. They're never the good giants. It's never the great giant of Israel. Matter of fact, the giant killer that comes out there in that interaction is shorter than everybody. His brothers are tall, and Saul is tall, and the giants are all giants, and there's no mention of David. But David has something. And I just want to talk to you, church. I want to tell you, God has something for you, and God has a destiny for you and a purpose for you. And you feel, some of you feel a calling and a ministry and a movement. And I'm not calling you to a pulpit, but the whole world is a pulpit, and the whole world needs to come to God. So there's ministries, and there's giftings, and there's anointings all over this house tonight. And we've effectively moved into a breach in the spiritual dynamic tonight. And God is moving, and God is touching, and God is raising up an army, and he's raising up people for his purposes. And where Saul and Israel were at fault here, they were hiding from this giant because they were relying on their strength and their wisdom. And they had won some victories, and those victories had seduced them into thinking that it was their strength and that it was their ability or their capacity. But as they sang already tonight, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so what the Holy Ghost would want to say to you tonight is, David came into that field of battle, and he said, you've got a shield and you've got a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And he said, before this day is out, everybody's going to know that there's a God in Israel. And I want you to know and understand that there's always going to be a giant, and some of you already know that, and some of you are wrestling with giants in your life right now, and some of you have been fighting against something, and you don't seem to have any power over that. But I want you to know, as persistent as the giants are, and they're in our world today, all the old gods are still with us today. Maybe not their temples, and maybe not their carved idols and images, but they're here today, and they're manifesting in a brand new iteration in this modern day. These ancient bloodthirsty gods, they're all over the place, and the giants that accompany them, they are here. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so we are at war, just as surely as Israel was. And there are giants. And how many of you have wrestled with something that was far bigger than you are? Is there a witness in this house? You fought something. Something came to you early on, like probably we were in the second, third year, something like that. I think maybe fourth year, Ruffner Road. And Sister Sutton had a dream, and she dreamed and she saw this great big Colosseum, and there was this gigantic muscle-bound man all greased up and gleaming in the lights, and he was preening and he was flexing and he was, and the Holy Ghost brought her there, and the Holy Ghost said, "You've got to fight him." And she was flabbergasted. She was, "I can't fight him." He said, "Yeah, you're going to fight him." That dream was one of those dreams where God gives you information that is soon to be affirmed. There were people moving in and out of that dream sequence, that dream scenario, in all sorts of interesting and hard to understand at the point of the dream. Hard to understand what was happening there, but in the next few days, things would unfold, and we would understand exactly that God had given us relevant, present prophecy for our church and for that particular day. But it also, when God gives you that, and he gives you, I call it a gimme, he gives you something that is easy, and you see it, and when it happens, the harder thing then is affirmed, and you know that the two were one dream, and he was telling you, I'm gonna show you something that you're going to do that is really hard to understand. But she went down and she was walking into that Colosseum, and she was making her way toward that individual, and the dream stopped, just cut off. It was extremely helpful to us in regard to the events of the next month. It really helped us and let us know that God was watching out for us and revealing things to us. But a few years later, that dream picked up again. And we knew and we understood that she was seeing the strong man of Birmingham, the strong man of the city, the demon prince of the city of Birmingham. And if you're familiar with Daniel chapter 10, you know about the prince of Persia. And you know about the prince of Grisha. And you know that the man on the ground was praying. And that Gabriel the archangel was fighting. And that thing was strong enough to withstand an archangel until Michael came and helped him. And when you're on the ground, when you're praying tonight, friend, there's a warfare in heaven. There's a warfare in the realm of the spirit. You're not just praying all by yourself tonight, but there are things moving in the realm of the spirit. And God is moving on your behalf. And in that 10th chapter, Gabriel's coming with information for the man Daniel. And he said, "Daniel, we heard you when you first began to pray." He said, "But the prince of Persia has withstood me these 21 days. But Michael came and helped me, and now I'm come to bring you this revelation." And he brings him the word of God. I want you to know that we are wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places. And when you pray, you may feel small tonight. and you may feel insignificant, and you may feel like your voice doesn't carry much weight, and you might feel like because of past failures or something in your life that somehow your prayer is not of a quality that would really get the attention of God. I want you to know God hears your prayer. God sees your tears. God gathers your tears in a bottle. God knows everything you're going through right now. He knows everything about. And when you pray, friend of mine, there are angels that are moving with you in that prayer, and the work is already started. I want you to hear that tonight. The work is already started. It's already moving, the thing you prayed about. It's already moving, the thing you've been weeping over. She was seeing the strong man of the city. And then about 3 or 4 years later, the dream starts right where it dropped off. It's amazing how God talks to us. She's making her way down this ramp. She's going into the ring, and she meets this colossal muscle-bound guy, and she's got some doubts about it, but God said, you know how to do this. You can do. And she just started out. Bam, 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 bam. She started weighing into him, and every time she would hit him, he'd get a little smaller. And when she saw that, she just really lit into him. And she, you know, she's kind of like that. It was years into our marriage, or our first 5 years of relationship. She was used to being able to beat up all the kids in the neighborhood, wrestle her sister's older friends. And she really thought she could take me. But she lit into the big boy. And every time she'd hit him, he'd get smaller. And every time she'd hit him, and she just started getting really flamboyant. She was giving him Bruce Lee. She was all over him. Took him down. And he was really, really small. And then she asked God, can I kill him? And God said, no, you can't kill him. He'll always be with you. Giants are persistent. They're all through the scripture. They're with us today. But you can cut them down. You can't make them ever go away. They're persistent. But you can break them down to a level where they are manageable and you are victorious and they have no power over your life and they can't intimidate you and they can't steal your victory. And they can't rob you of revival. And they can't shut down what God has started in your life. And they can't break your prosperity. And they can't take control of your job and your finances and all of that. There's nothing in your life that's greater than your will and God mixed together. Praise God. So that giant, he's always going to be there. But he doesn't have any power that we don't give him. And Jesus said, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. Where Saul and Israel had failed, they began to associate their victories with their strength. And because they were reliant, because they had become carnal and accustomed to relying on their own strength, and they were convinced that they were conquerors and they were able. When the giant appeared, they ran and hid. And I want to encourage you tonight to walk in humility and to walk in meekness and to walk in the knowledge that we are the sheep of his pasture. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. Saul called him a stripling. Saul called him a stripling. It's just a young, skinny lad, not even fully mature as a man yet. Just a skinny shepherd kid. Saul said, the stripling, whose stripling is he? But that stripling went down into a place where veteran warriors were afraid to go. And he went down into a place where an anointed king would not go. And God was with him because he gave all the glory to God. Praise God. You may have had some successes in your life, but don't for a moment begin to think that it's by your might or by your power. I understand. Don't make me expand on that. But no matter how great your success, and no matter how wonderful your works, stay meek, stay humble. God will walk with you every day of your life. And there is not a giant that will arise that you won't be able to take down, because God will meet with you in that attitude and that spirit of humility. David walked into that valley and he said, it was the Lord who was on my side. David walked into that valley and said, you come to me with your strength and your armor, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. It's not about me. It's about my God. And you're in trouble today. Hey, Goliath, I want somebody in this house to tell your giant you're in trouble today, because you're not dealing with me. You're dealing with my God, and my God is able, and my God is never lost, and my God is always victorious, and my God is a God over all the earth. Praise God. Can I get the praise group to come back? I want you to sing that again. I want you to sing that breathe on me part again. And I want the whole church to sing that tonight. I want you to sing and pray while you're singing. God, I need you to breathe on my trouble. I need you to breathe on my weakness. I need you to breathe on my brokenness. I can't do this on my own, but I know if you'll come, God, that you're able. And that we'll have a victory in our home and in our family and in my work and my finances and all that I do. Lift up every hand, every voice. Hallelujah. Come on, ask him to fall on you. Ask him to breathe on you. Down into your house, down in everything you're involved in. Every battlefield, every giant. Somebody is ashamed of your struggle. Bring your struggle. Bring your struggle to God and let him breathe on it. Let him breathe into your trouble. Let him breathe into your life. God, breathe on every Bible study. God, breathe into every prayer. God, breathe into every home. God, breathe into every marriage. Mighty God, lay your hand on everything we do. on the vessel. Breathe on us, oh God. Let's magnify him. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Praise God. Praise God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The world doesn't understand you. They don't know what you're running on. They don't know your strength. They don't know where you're coming from. But you're walking in a realm they don't know anything about. Praise God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Somebody say, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And God's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How'd you do that? You know, it was just God working on my behalf. How did you become that? And you could tell them about all your hard work and your wise decisions and how, and all of that is true. And I'm not disputing nor diminishing the power of your work. But when you have a chance, even in your own counsel, don't ever get caught up in what you've done and how it came to be. Remember that it was the Lord that was on your side, and give him glory, because you're going to face a giant and you're going to need God, and you don't want to be hiding when the giant starts bellowing into your life. Praise God. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands once more, lift our voices, magnify him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody needs to talk to a giant tonight, and you just tell him, I'm coming to you in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, and just tell him how it's going to be when God shows up. I want you to be sure to get a flyer and invite somebody off your job or your school or your family. Invite them to come for Wednesday night. You never know what Brother Booker's going to do, and it's such a treat and a delight to have him in the house. So glad to be with you on a Sunday. What a rich, wonderful move of God we've had all day today. What a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God. God bless you, strengthen you. We'll see you, if not before, we'll see you Wednesday. God bless you.